book of Daniel,
the chapter
in which he goes into the 70 weeks. I'm not going to touch that. God has a way of preparing us for what he needs for us to do. No matter how bad the situation may be that you're in, I challenge you to look for God in that situation. And if you look for him, you will find him. He sent the nation of Israel into exile. They were there for 70 years in the nation of Babylon. Somewhere I read that Daniel was a young man when they went in exile. And now he's an old man. And they are still in exile. This passage of scripture opens with Daniel in deep concern about the future of his dear people and of their painful suffering under the Babylonian rule. For 70 years or at least or maybe more, they had been in exile in Babylon. Throughout the years, Daniel had seen his people broken, discouraged, suffering, and at times overcome by a spirit of hopelessness. Have you ever been there? Now, as an aged man, he did the only thing he could do to help them. He turned to the Lord. He sought answers concerning his people and begged God to do something about it. Daniel was stirred to seek the face of God, and he was laying claim to the wonderful promises of God. God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and God's restoration of the nation of Israel. These were some marvelous promises that God had given to the nation of Israel. These were the promises that were the focus of Daniel's fervent, heart-moving prayer that he prayed to an almighty God. These words stressed a deep and intense fervency of Daniel, who had been with them all this time. Daniel must pray. He could do nothing else but pray. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You ever been there? When it seemed like everything else have seemed to fail and all you could do was say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me, your child. I'm down here. Nobody seemed to care about me. Lord, will you stop by and see about me? And I stop by to tell you that if you know him and you just call him, doesn't matter what the time is, because time is in his hand. Somebody say you can call him late in the midnight hour. Somebody say you could call him early in the morning. Say, but it's one thing you cannot do. Say, you cannot wake him up. For somewhere in his word it says, he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always just waiting on you to call. If you need somebody to talk to, I challenge you to call up heaven. And you will not get a busy signal. You will not get a recording of I'm sorry, we're not here. Leave a message. We'll call you back at our earliest convenience. You won't have to worry about getting that message. Seems like to me he's just sitting there just waiting on me to call it. And when I do that, I just call it. Could nobody else do this but me? I have figured out some kind of way to open this microphone and let the batteries fall out without even trying. I've done it twice today. Now, there's a message in that for somebody. It may be for me. Now let's see if I can. Am I good, Larry? Can you hear me now? Help me, Holy Ghost. Can you hear me now? This calling God, something like this happens, it won't interrupt. It won't interrupt talking to God because he can always pick you up wherever you are. If you don't believe it, try him sometime. Just talk to him and he won't let you forget what you need to tell him, because he knows that Daniel was trying to figure God out on about what he was going to do. Help me preach this message, if you will. Look at Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11. He says, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. This is what stirred Daniel. Daniel started reading the book of Jeremiah. See, that's why every now and then you need to read the word of God. You will find answers that you're looking for. Daniel wanted to know how long. How long, God? How long are we going to be here? But then he found Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 11. And he told him right there. Now turn a few pages over to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10. He said, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." See, God, everything is already figured out. There's nothing that needs to be figured out. Daniel wanted to know what God was going to, how long are we going to be here? I read somewhere that Daniel had spent, it was already about 66 years that he had spent in exile. Most of his life, all of his life just about was spent in exile. My question to you, are you spending the majority of your lifetime in exile? I'm glad you asked. Back and I'm in it. No, but you're in exile away from God. You got sin in your life and you won't get it out. God got his word right here, and all you got to do is just get in it and find where you are. God will bring you out. As he told Daniel, we're going to go ahead and do this. Got 5 or 6 points here. Point number one. Daniel expressed adoration for the Lord. You see that? You see that? Do you see that? Do you see that there in verse 4? And I prayed unto the Lord and made my confession unto the Lord. Here it is right here. Oh Lord, the great and dreadful God, the keeper of covenant. Daniel in my terminology was trying to get on the good side of God. Not knowing that God already had things in plan. But you got to talk to him. You got to talk to him because he's in control of everything. He was telling God how much I adore you, how great you are, what an awesome God you are. Every now and then, you ought to tell him how good he is, how good he done already been, and how good you know he is going to be.
Yes, sir.
You have to tell God. And listen to me, listen to me. Sometimes when you first come to him, you will be lying to him because you don't know how good he is. But you think just because you utter it from your lips, it makes it so. Not so. You can't keep telling him that. The mistake that, well, I won't know about y'all. The mistake that I made, I thought everything I said out of my mouth, God. God believed me. God would take that I and I wouldn't. And if you look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself the truth, neither were you. But see, if you just keep right on saying it. And keep right on acting like it. After a while, you'll begin to believe it yourself. I told y'all about this lady that told me that I wasn't fantastic. And I told her she didn't know me. She didn't ask me how she felt about me. She asked me how was I feeling. And I said, I'm fantastic. She said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. Because I know how I am. When I first started saying that, I didn't mean it. I was trying to impress myself. But now, I don't try to impress myself. I am fantastic. Don't need your approval to be that way. Didn't ask you how I should feel. I know. Because I know God. I'm fantastic. Might be sick. Might not feel good. But I'm fantastic. Because what you see of me and how I feel is really not me. For I am a spirit, and I worship him in spirit and in truth. So therefore, my spirit man is fantastic. Daniel was talking to God, and he wanted God to know how he felt about God. Brothers and sisters, you have to have an admiration of God. You have to just know that God is the best thing that ever happened to you. You have to know that God is better than light bread. God is better than tide. He's better than anything. You have to know that. That's why you can tell him about how good and how great he is. There's nothing or nobody like my God. Whatever I need, God got it. He can do that. The Jewish people did not use the word Lord. They said Yahweh or Jehovah, which was a very special name for God that they used. And the reason they could use that name, God gave them that name himself. Said, I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. I am your provider. I am the all-sustaining one. Whatever God needs, God got it. One of those big Jehovah names means the all-sufficient one. Whatever he needs, he got it within himself. Somebody said that he was lonesome and he made man. He couldn't have been lonesome and made man because he's three in one.
It's three of them: God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you can't get lonesome when you're around yourself. You can't, because you're talking, you got somebody, you got God. He's the best company keeper that there is. And Daniel was talking to God, and he was letting him know how awesome he was. And he was letting him know, as awesome as you are, I fear you, but I still love you. There's a fear, a reverential fear that you need to have of God. You need to fear God because of his greatness and his awesomeness. You need to fear him. And Daniel was talking to God just like that. Oh, I love you, but I'm afraid of you. I fear you, and it's a fear, it's a respectful type of fear. I feared my daddy if I had done something wrong. If I hadn't done anything wrong, I had a fear for him then too, but it wasn't because I'd done something. It was out of respect. Young people, you ought to fear your parents. You ought to fear them out of respect for them. Old people, you ought to respect, you ought to fear your parents out of respect for them. After I got grown, if I told my dad I did something and I was grown, I'll either do one or two things. I'll let you whip me, or I'll get out from around you, because I'm not going to hit you back. I'm going to stand there and take that whipping because you're my daddy. That's a reverential fear. You got to know, you got to fear God, and you got to fear him enough to know that he's not going to mistreat you, because he's your daddy, and fathers love their children. Daniel was talking to God just like that. Point number two, that's found in verse 4, point number one. Point number two, Daniel did something that we don't like to do. He confessed his sin and the sins of the Jewish people. That's verses 5 through 8. He confessed their wickedness and rebellion. Their very lifestyle was wicked, and their heart was rebellious. Listen, if your lifestyle is not like God would have it to be, that's your sin. My question to you is the same question that I ask myself. Have I confessed the sins of my people? Have I confessed the sins of my household? Have I confessed the sins of my church? Have I confessed the sins of my city? Have I confessed the sins of my state? Have I confessed the sins of my nation? We need to confess those, because we are... God knows, and we need to let God know that we know that we've sinned, and we need your forgiveness. You got to confess your sin. Well, God, you know. He sure does. He know one other thing too, that if you don't confess them, he can't forgive them. Because you must confess your sin. He also confessed their rejection of God's holy word. They were guilty of turning away from God's commandment and laws. God provided laws, rules, and regulations for the people, and they walked away from them. The book in the Bible, the one we're doing in Bible study now, Hosea, is right past the last part of Daniel. And I'm thinking about right now that Hosea, God was, what he was doing with him, he'll do the same thing with you. You'll get in relationships that you don't think you have any business in. If you invite God in and take God into that relationship, God can get the advantage from that relationship. The nation of Israel had walked away from God. We as a people and as a nation, as a city, as a town, as a church, have walked away from God. Does this mean that nobody in the church or in the city or the state or the nation is right? No, it does not. But as a whole, we've done that. If we had not done that, the empty seats in here would be occupied. We have walked away. We have arrived. I got my computer and I can, what's that thing, Facebook, whatever it is, I can do that and I can talk with anybody in the world. But you won't talk to God. We have walked away because we have all this technology and stuff is good if you use it for God. If you use it for anything else, it's not any good. He confessed their failure to listen to the prophet. I started to stay right there because why should we listen to you? You are just like we are. But the prophet had one advantage on them. He was talking to God. He was listening to God. The prophet was getting his instructions from God. He was doing that right there because this is what God had him for. Every one of us got a purpose to be alive. All we need to do is let God in our purpose and to give our lives to God, and God will use our purpose to his glory. But you have to give it to him. We are too headstrong, independent, go my way, do my thing, to allow God into your life. I stop by to tell you, if you don't invite him in, you're making a drastic mistake. Does it mean you're going to go die and go to hell? No, you could be saved, but you're going to miss so many blessings. You can't live for God when you want to, when it's convenient. It's not convenient for me today, so I'm not going to do it today. I got something else that I need to do today. So I'm not going to live for God today. You can't do that. You can't do him like you do your water in your house. Turn it on and turn it off when you get ready. You got to live for him 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you want to, and especially when you don't want to. If you want a blessing, don't want to do something and do it from your heart anyway. God ain't going to do nothing but bless you. That's why some of you are still here today. You're blessed to be here today. God didn't have to let you breathe his air. There were some prophets who was faithfully proclaiming God's word and God's message. Down through the years, God have had some awesome prophets or people to talk about his word. And the nation of Israel, all during the time God was blessing them, they were somebody. And they knew they were somebody. But then they turned and walked away from God. And they still was thinking that they were somebody. They were somebody, but they were somebody that was lost. You can be the same way. Most of you have heard the story of Samson, who got his hair cut off and didn't know that God had left him. Got up and shook himself, and then he found out he didn't have anything. God had left him. Yeah. You keep living in sin, thinking God gonna bless everything you do. You will be highly fooled. God's prophets had warned the leadership and the citizens of God's coming judgment if they continue to disobey his commandment. If you continue in sin, you won't be so far that God can't reach you, but you'll be so far in sin that you can't recognize him when he comes. You won't be able to. All you have to do is get in sin and stay in sin. The longer you stay, the harder it is to get out of it. It says sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin loves having a child of God in their clutches. Because it's not you that the devil is after. He's after hurting the heart of God. We have to take this word and put it into our lives and obey this word of God. If you don't obey it, you'll disobey it. He also confessed their unfaithfulness to the Lord. They had refused to obey God's holy word, and they had refused to live a righteous. They had refused to live righteous as a witness to their surrounding nations. Listen here. There's somebody right around you watching you to see how you live. And your lifestyle is a bad witness for what you say, who you say you belong to. If you don't live it, if it's not in your heart, you can only fake it for so long. I watch cartoons. There is a cartoon character called Pepe Le Pew. Anybody in here know else other than me know Pepe Le Pew? The skunk. He is an awesome lover. He is a lover. He is a lover from the word go. And nobody likes to be around a skunk. So what Pepe Le Pew does, he paints himself. And then he makes a female cat fall in love with him. And she just love him and he just love her. I don't know how she got past that scent, but see, love does some strange things. So he just kept loving on her, she kept loving on him, and all of a sudden he falls in a lake. And the paint washes off. And then when he come up, she looks and sees that white stripe down his back, and that's all she need to see. She's gone. That's the way we are with God. You can fake it for so long. God already know who you are. But see, the other people don't know who you are. Then when you fall in there and the paint washes off, the real devil comes up. He comes up because we are faking it. You cannot continue. You can't fake it. You can only fake it for a little while. They were sinning and unfaithful and their own righteousness. Isaiah says this somewhere in his writing, was as filthy rags in the sight of God. In the sight of God. Not in the sight of everybody else that were looking at them, but in the sight of God. Their righteousness was that when it's time to make the sacrifice of the feast, they showed up with everything that they were supposed to have and done it the way they were supposed to do it. But their heart was not in it. Your heart, you need to want to do what you do for God. You need to love to do what you do for God. If you don't do what you do for God, then you feel like some part of you is missing. Something's wrong if at 9:30 Sunday morning I'm not in Sunday school. If I get there at 11 o'clock, I done miss some. Because that's part of me. We need to get so we just love everything about God. And I guess I know there'll be times when you, but God knows that too. And where your heart is, if your heart's right, then it will not be as filthy rags. They had been real unfaithful to the Lord. They had done some terrible evils. And they had covered them with shame. And it had led them to exile. Brothers and sisters, being exiled is a bad thing. Daniel confessed their sins and their hard-heartedness against the Lord. He confessed their stubborn heart that brought shame upon themselves. They had been talking about this God that brought us out of Egypt. They had been telling everybody about how great this God is that brought us out of Egypt, that brought us across the Red Sea. But here now, they themselves are back in captivity again, down in Babylon for 70 years. Point number three, Daniel acknowledged their ingratitude. They were ungrateful. They were stout-hearted, stubborn people, and didn't want to thank God for what he had done. That comes from verses 9 and 10. They spurned God's mercy. No matter what God did to them, they took it for granted that God, you ought to do this for us. You got to do this for us because we are your children. We are the children of Israel. We are the seeds of Abraham. We are the Jewish people. You call us your people back over in Exodus. You call us my people, and you call us out of Egypt to build us a nation. They spurned the mercy of God. What they did was they took advantage of God, and then they rebelled against a true and a living God. They had disobeyed God. They broke God's laws and God's commandments. Seemed like to me I'm doing the same thing in the book of Daniel we do in the book of Hosea. You keep saying the same thing over and over and over again because God needed to be repeated because you kept doing the same thing over and over again. They were disobedient. They did not love the Lord. They loved him just on the outside. They didn't have the love of God deep down in their heart. You got to love God with everything that you have. Despite the people ingratitude, the Lord was merciful and forgiving. He would have mercy and forgive their sins when they turn to him and repent. See, no matter how sinful you are, all God wants you to do is just repent and turn from your wicked ways. If you repent and turn from your wicked ways, God will forgive you and you won't have to worry about it. Point number four, Daniel acknowledged and honored God's justice. God is a just God, and God won't do anything that's wrong. I don't believe that he can do anything that is wrong. If God does it, it's all right with me, whether I like it or not. They sang a song, God said it, and I believe it. It's all right if I don't believe it. If God said it, it's all right. God won't do anything that's wrong. God's holy word had forewarned them of his coming judgment. The people were presently suffering the curse of judgment because of their sins against the Lord. When you sin against God, you got to pay the price. They said if you're going to dance, you're going to have to pay the piper. If you mess up with God, you can look to get punished. If you're his child, if you're not his child, you're still going to get it. But God will punish you. And all you have to do is just turn from your wicked ways, and God will provide just what you need. The suffering of the nation in captivity was due to their own sins. They due to their own sins. And that's something I don't understand about God. And I don't need to understand it. I trust him anyway. God used the nation of Babylon to capture the nation of Israel. But God is going to punish them, the nation of Babylon, for the way they treated the children of Israel. God used them to correct the nation of Israel. Most of the time, we going through something that because we have gotten out of the will of God, and God is using that to get your attention. When trouble comes, the first thing we do is holler, Lord, have mercy upon me. Last week, I wouldn't call on him. Everything was going all right. But this week, I don't have a job. I don't have this, and I don't have that. I said, Lord, will you stop by and see about me? My grandmama told me that if you pray and talk to a true and a living God, he will provide just what you need. That's what God uses. Sometimes being without a job, living in your house with your mom-in-law is bad, but it's working. It's getting you close to God. Being without a job, you turn to God. And sometimes being without a job, when you got 5 or 6 other mouths to feed, if you the mama or the daddy, you got to turn that plate down so the children can eat. And then you talk to God. God, I just got a loaf of bread and a pound of bologna and a half a jar of mayonnaise. Will you make it go? Will you let this provide for my children? And God will provide just what you need. You may be a sinner. You may be a wretch undone. But you know how to call on a true and a living God. When you call him, God sees your heart. He doesn't see your lips. He sees your heart. And when the heart gets right, God will. God will answer you. God's justice is fair, whether I like it or not. When I look back at it, I thank him. I said this the other week. When my dad and mama and them were whipping me, I didn't like it. But now that I'm past them and look back, yeah, they did a good job. If they hadn't have done what they did, there's no telling where I would be. And that's the way it is with us with God. God knows just what you need to bring you to him. Most of us, if we were to tell the truth, we decided ourselves to come to God when we had nowhere else to go, when I was backed in a corner. And I know you've been in church all your life and you live next door to Jesus and all that. But when you tell the honest to God truth, you are a wretch undone. And when you might have walked down the aisle and gave the preacher your hand, but when things sure enough, I ain't talking about halfway, I'm talking about sure enough got bad. When you turned to God, you were out there. I'm glad you asked. Because the devil, when he gets us, after he know he got you, he start treating you bad. Wherein you used to could speed down the road and the police wouldn't stop you. Now you could be going 3 miles over. They pull you over. God will use that to draw you to him. That's what he used the Babylonian nation to let Israel know, you've gotten out of order and I'm bringing you back. I'm bringing you back because you've gotten so far. I got to do something to get you back to me. Why do you think you got away with what you think you got away with your mama and your daddy? And all of a sudden, they caught you. God fixed it. Listen to me. This is where God have had me in the last 3 or 4 weeks. That whatever happens in my life, it's all in the plans of God. It's in the plans of God. If something negative happened to me, I don't need to look at God and say God caused it. I need to look at Dwight Baggin and see what you did or did not do out of the will of God. We always want to blame somebody else. We want to point the finger. We don't ever turn the finger back this way. We always point out. God's justice is fair. I'm glad it's tendered with mercy. If there was no mercy in God's justice, I would not be standing here today. But because there is grace and mercy in his justice, I stand here today because of his grace and mercy. Point number 5. Minister Allen didn't read 16, 17, 18, and 19. Did you read 15, didn't you? Okay, 16, 17, 18, and 19. and 15 is where this last point comes from. What was that point I just gave you? Okay. Point number five. My mind was to do four again. Point number five. I know. He asked for mercy, forgiveness, and restoration. All of these had been demonstrated when God delivered the people out of the nation of Israel. God demonstrated to them mercy, forgiveness, and restoration. Now, let's not think too harsh of them, for God did that to us too. He showed his mercy, his forgiveness, and he will restore us. He's in the process of restoring most of us now. Daniel was asking God to turn his anger and his wrath away from Jerusalem, away from his holy mountain. He wanted God to show mercy, because mercy was the very nature of God in his righteousness. Because their sins made them the object of his scorn, because they had sinned so bad that God had gotten tired of watching them in their sin, so he had to do something about it. I keep saying this, y'all, because somebody need to get this. God, when you stay out, let's stay sinning so long and you are his child, stuff will come your way. And God, don't you blame God. You step back and look at yourself and see what you did out of the will of God. This is what Daniel was asking God. God, show your mercy. God, this is the temple. This is the place where you said your name would be. This is your holy mountain. God, your temple is desolate. They have destroyed the place. God, show mercy. God will hear you. Then there's another plea that he said. He wanted God to hear his prayer and look with favor on the destroyed city and the nation in exile. Wanted God to show favor. I love to be in the favor of God. For if you got the favor of God, you have everything that you need. But see, sometimes to get the favor of God, you got to go through something. You got to get to a place where you know that you don't have the favor of God. When you get to that place where you don't have the favor of God, most of us have a tendency to turn our face to the wall like Hezekiah and begin to recite to God the good things that we have done in his name. Well, see, when you can do that, God will take notice and hear what you're saying. You could tell God about how you have help this neighbor, this one, or that, or another, or what you've done. Or you could just say, God, you know I have done nothing, but I'm standing before you. I'm guilty of everything that you could accuse me of doing. But God, I have got to the place where I know right now that without you, I cannot make it. God, will you help me in this situation that I'm in? Can't do anything about it. And I know I have not done your will. I know sometimes I have gotten in a place where I would say, damn your soul. I would talk bad about your people. I wouldn't help anybody. But God, right now, I'm in a desperate place. And I know that nobody can't help me but you. And I heard the old people say that you will stop by to see about me. God, and I'm asking you right now if you will stop by to see about me. I don't know what Daniel would have said, told him, but I would have told him this when I think about my life. I would have said, God, I've been taught your word. I understand your word in my head, but I don't have your word in my heart. God, will you touch my heart and bring me close to you? I done made up my mind that I'm going to serve you. And if you do this for me, God, I will serve you, and I'll stay in your word because I believe the things that I've been taught about your word. Somewhere I remember hearing an old deacon say, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. And I said, Jesus, will you let me pick up my cross? And will you let me follow you? Don't know where I'm going. Don't know what I'm doing. But they told me, and right now, God, I got just enough sense to believe them, that you will come see about me. Everybody else that I've called on, they couldn't help me or they wouldn't help me. I'm in a bind now, God, and will you stop by to see about me? Whatever it was that I needed, it didn't come lickety-split, but I stayed with him. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. I remember somewhere in the book of Daniel when he prayed, and he prayed 21 days, and the angel said he heard him. The first day he prayed, and he answered it, said, the devil and the prince of the air, stop this prayer. That's what happened to you when God, when you pray to God and God answers your prayer, the devil don't want you to get an answer. That's why sometimes you have to wait. And I know with me, he didn't come when I called him, but he did answer. Sometimes an answer delayed is not an answer denied. Sometimes your answer will be delayed, but if you talk with him, and you prove to God that you're going to stay with him. When I prayed, I changed my walk. My walk was away from God. But then when I prayed, I promised God that I would walk with him. I would do what he had me to do. I said, God, if you just help me, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. And when you promise God, that's one thing I love about God. He'll bless you in the future, and he'll bless you now. I'm glad you asked, because the future is now to God. Now is the time to talk to God, because he can sit up in heaven and see 19, 25, and be looking at 19, 20, and 12. It's all the same to God. When you talk to God, talk to him just like he's there, because you know what he is there. You can ask him, y'all, what you want, and live, and God will provide. Somebody do something now. They call pay it forward. I believe God blessed me forward. He blessed me with what was going to happen to me yesterday. It's already there. What's going to happen to me tomorrow is already there, because he blessed me forward. Ain't God all right? When you talk to God, you can have the favor of God, and you cannot know you got the favor of God. You can be walking, good things happening to you. You don't know why they're happening, but after a while, by and by, you will feel somebody touch you. Not on your shoulder, not on your head, but touch you in your heart, and you will turn around. You will start doing the will of God. Don't know why you're doing what you're doing. Don't know why you're going where you're going, but you're going and you're doing, because God done touch your heart. Your old buddies will see you, and they'll tell you, I don't see you anymore. You can tell them, say, nah, the places I used to go, I don't go there no more. The things I used to do, I don't do them no more, because God have taken up residence in my heart. God's gonna bless me, because I'm seeking the blessings of God. I'm seeking the mercy of God. I want God to have mercy on me, because if justice were to plumb the line, I'd be dead. I'd be in hell. But because of God's mercy and grace, God's all right, y'all. I know he's all right, because he blessed me. He blessed me. He blessed me all the day long. God is an awesome God, and I love him, and I'm glad that I got the favor of God. How do you know you got the favor of God? Because he just keep right on blessing me. He blessed me every day of my life. I know God's all right. He's all right, y'all. All you got to do is just call him. He won't never sleep. He'll always be there. When everybody else done left you, God will provide just what you need. Oh, Lord, I love you, and I thank you for what you've done. God, just keep right on blessing me. I know you love me, because you done blessed me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being God all by yourself. Listen, saints, we need to constantly seek the mercies of God. And we doesn't mean that you're not saved, but you won't never overdose on the Holy Ghost. You can't overdose on it. The more of it you get, the more of it you need. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Some of us come to God needing mercies to fill this cup with a cup this size. You're going to have to pour this cup of mercy in here a whole bunch of times to get it full. So why not come with a bigger cup? I do not serve a small God. I serve a big God. My God is bigger than any situation that I have, because he's God. He's God. Don't come to God with a thimble. Because if you come with a thimble, that's all you're going to get. Lord have mercy. Listen, y'all. We fail to realize how great God is. If you're a child of God, you cannot need anything that God will not provide. You cannot need anything that God cannot provide. I see him. No, what you want is not in God's plan. What you need is in God's plan. What you want, the devil might put that in your mind. But what you need, God will provide. There's not anything that a child of God needs that God does not already have. I'm through, but let me tell you this story, since I just said what I did. This guy died, and he went to heaven. He was up in heaven, him and St. Peter, just walking around, looking at everything. And there was a big old warehouse, a big old acres and acres and acres of a warehouse. And They went inside and they looked and they walked in and there was rooms, had names on the doors. And he was just walking. He said, "What's that, St. Peter?" He said, "That's just some rooms that people have in heaven." He said, "Is there anybody I know up here?" And then all of a sudden, St. Peter carried him to an area and said, "These are the people that have rooms here that live in the same neighborhood you lived in." He said, "Oh, it is." He started walking around looking. Then he saw one with his name on it. He said, "That's my name right there." He said, "Yeah." And St. Peter just kept walking. He said, "Can I see what's in there?" He said, "No, you don't want to see what's in there." He said, "Yes." "No, you don't want to see what's in there." He kept talking to Peter, and Peter finally gave in and let him walk in the room. He opened the room and went in there, looking there on those shelves. If the room was 5 by 10, it was shelves from the top, from the floor to the top, all the way around the walls. All of them had pretty red, blue, and green boxes wrapped in them. He said, "What's those, Peter?" He said, "Oh, you don't want to know, so let's go." He said, "No, sir, what's those?" He said, "Tell me what they are." He said, "Those are things that God had for you that you didn't ask him for." He said, "You remember that ring that you wanted for your wife that you didn't buy?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Here it is." He took it off the shelf and unwrapped it. It looked just like the ring that his wife wanted, but he didn't ask for it. Yeah. Can I tell y'all two that's wrapped for me? But I'm going to get them before I leave here. And I know y'all probably think I'm crazy, but I've asked God. I take a pill in the morning for cholesterol. I take one for high blood pressure. I got those two presents wrapped. I've asked him for them. Got them in my grateful journal. I've written them down. God, I want you to cure me of high blood pressure and cholesterol. But now, I'm doing something down here to help cure it. I love to eat pork chop sandwiches. I love to eat hog head cheese, hog head sauce. Some of you don't know what that is because y'all, you know. And I love to eat. I love to eat. And I haven't had any fried fish in about 3 or 4 weeks. And that's strange. I've eaten some baked fish or something, but I've eaten fried fish. And I love pancakes. I love to go to Cracker Barrel and get 3 of them buttermilk pancakes. Especially with the strawberries on them and the whipped cream on the top. I haven't had that in about a year. See, I'm trying to do something down here. What you want, ask him for. See, we scared. We be scared. We be scared to ask him. Scared he ain't gonna do it. There ain't nothing that God can't do. If I do my part, God's gonna do his part. Don't be afraid to ask God. What you want for Pooh Bear, ask God. Ask him. And don't just ask him one time. Keep asking him. He'll grant it. He might not like it, but God will grant it. And not only Pooh Bear, all the rest of them. What you want from, ask God. And pray to do everything you can to do your part to make sure it happens. I'm through. Invitation. Listen. If you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now you can know him. You can know him up here between your right ear and your left ear, but you have to know him in your heart. When you get to know Jesus in your heart and you receive him in your heart, you can ask what you will, and he'll grant it. Will you come to Jesus just as you are?